particular is that they would like to continue to have control as to the level of service that we would like and to pay that which these people are to receive. I believe that every individual in the community, other than those people that are currently employed by the city, have an opportunity to run for the city council. Therein lies the problem, that these people do not find adequate representation. I think it's generally in the interest of the community is to look to the city manager to represent these people when they get the negotiation of their wages and concerns. And we, I think it's to the communities in Alaska to look for that avenue to be the tack as to how we address the concerns of the employees. I speak in opposition to this, and I look to really the communities themselves. They have the opportunity to elect officials into into the council chambers that can overturn, any particular community can overturn and opt out of this particular option locally. And I would look to do that rather than to have the state put another level of jurisdiction over us. Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Come on now to Jean and Homer. Jean, do you have a participant?
No, Tom, we don't have any more people to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Go on to Seward. Vicki and Seward, do you have anybody else? Hearing now, I'll go on to Sitka. Sitka, do you have a participant?
Hi, my name is Steve Rose. I'm an employee with the City and Borough of Sitka, and I represent only myself in this matter. I am opposed to the passing of Senate Bill 154. I don't believe that the passing of this bill is in best interest to the city of Sitka as a whole. I believe that a few people may benefit with the passing of the bill, but I believe that as a whole, I'd have to agree with Mayor Dapsevich and the mayor of Petersburg. I think there's other ways to handle this, and the municipality should be entitled to opt out of fair if they so desire. Thank you for your time, please.
Thank you, Steve.
Sitka, another participant on the opposite side. Hearing none, I'll go to Pat Valdez. Do you have another participant for us today, Pat?
We have another participant from Sitka.
I'm sorry, we'll go back to Sitka. Pat, I'll come to you in a minute. Thank you, Sitka. Go ahead, please.
Okay, my name is Joanne Clyde. I'm speaking in favor of Senate Bill number 154. I'm representing myself. I think it's very important that the employees have a right to collectively bargain and have the right to go to arbitration if no agreement can be found. Presently, with the vague wording that is coming down under recognition of employees, much confusion, much misunderstanding, much discord is happening in Sitka, at least. I feel that the employees' rights are not being thoroughly recognized, and it's expensive in the long run in the terms of just the lawsuits that have happened in Sitka. What happens without the right to go to arbitration? People can only resort to lawsuits or to a strike or a sit-down, which presently is barred under the Alaska Public Employees Act, would not happen under that act, but people have other recourses. I think it's very important this bill go through and that the municipality not have the right to exempt from the act. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Yes, could I have, this is the moderator, could I have Joanne's last name, please? Perhaps spell it.
Yes, Clyde, C-L-Y-D-E.
Thank you. We're going now to Pat Valdez. Do you have another participant? Hearing none, we'll go around again. The committee has about 10 minutes, and just appreciated the brevity of the testimony here near the end of the day. So we'll continue with that kind of brief two or three minute comments, and I'll go back to Anchorage. Anchorage, do you have any further participants for our teleconference?
No, we do not, Tom.
Thank you. I'll go on to Fairbanks. Fairbanks, please.
Thank you. My name is Willie Lewis. I'm the president of Labor's Local 942 here in Fairbanks. I would like to speak for myself, but unfortunately, seeing other members that do not have the opportunity to be here today, like some of my friends, attorneys, you know, here, and people like the mayor of Sitka, that speak against the rights of people that should be affected by this bill. I will speak on the behalf of all of our members and other people that should have a right to organize under a collective bargain agreement. We've heard lots of things about what the agreement and how people treat the employees and they're one step ahead and so on, whatever. It seemed like to me that people that are speaking against this bill do not think that the members themselves have any responsibility. Maybe they do not want to be one step ahead of the collective bargaining agreement. Maybe they feel that if they have the opportunity to negotiate their own contract, which they pay the bill, they will be more happy to be satisfied. Some of these successful elected officials should think about the imperative that they put on people's of lack of enthusiasm and not being able to exercise their rights under the law. It just kind of gets to me to where it seems like seven or eight people within a city like to dictate to people that should be covered by this amendment. I wish sometime in the future that it could be ever thought of to just let the people that are affected by the agreement speak in the behalf and see exactly how they feel. This is what the law is all about. These are the people that we are trying to target as a labor organization. We are not just somebody as a second class or a special interest group. We represent people and their minds and thoughts through constructed and through collective bargaining. I will close that hopefully that this testimony, in one, just think about one thing. It is a midday session that automatically designed around people that should be affected. I think that if you had the opportunity to listen to those that blue-collar workers that are affected, that feel less enthusiastic, like second-class citizens, I think you would have a different story from people that are attorneys and mayors and other people that pretty much exercise all the rights that the collective bargaining agreement try to give to each and every American in the United States. Let's think about what we call, and I used to hear my old professor say, the American dream. Let those people be heard. Let those people guarantee one law that would affect one and one and all. This is not the 18th century, this is the 19th and 20th centuries, and I think we should think about everybody's right in the United States and Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Do we have somebody on this side of the issue in Fairbanks to speak now?
No, Tom. We have one person in favor of the issue.
All right. We'll go on to Matt Sue.
Good afternoon. For the sake of brevity, I'll be short. My name is Dave Fleck, and I'm the city manager of Palmer. And the city of Palmer opposes the enactment of Senate Bill 54, and basically everything that needs to be said regarding the subject has been said several times over. Thank you.
That was brief. Thank you, Dave.
We'll go on to somebody on the outside question in Saldana. Matt Sue, rather. I'm sorry. Matt Sue. Please repeat your name.
Matt Sue has finished now. Thank you.
Thank you. Go on to Nome. Do you have another participant?
No other participants in Nome. Thank you.
Thank you. Go on to Cordova. Do you have another participant with you?
Yes, I do. And his name is Dick Groff.
I'm Dick Groff, the vice mayor of Cordova, speaking for the city, and that's all of us, employees and taxpayers. We oppose the principle of SB 154. At one time, our city opted out of the Public Employment Relations contract. In other words, we rejected having its provisions apply in Cordova. Prior to and since that time, the rights of public employees have not been jeopardized by unfair labor practices. This is evident by the lack of complaints and accusations against the city. Our employees have preferred to deal with the city in a locally ordained semi-formal fashion, which has resulted in very satisfactory labor relations. Our public employees are very much a part of this municipality and act from a position of cooperation. There is no adversary relationship such as is always generated from formal labor organization. We do not now, nor do we ever intend to get locked into an us and them atmosphere between our public employees and the city. Good faith cooperation is the bad word for labor relations in Cordova, and we as a community feel very comfortable with our local control. It is responsive to local needs. If some or several communities are having labor relation problems because of this local option, I contend that mutual good faith bargaining could satisfy the needs of both sides. Local people can handle local business much smarter than outside interests can handle local business. I pulled a handful of public employees from three different departments just to make sure we are all thinking the same on this issue, and we are. We urge the defeat of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
And Heather, we have no one else on the other side of the issue, is that correct?
That's right. We have no more people to testify.
And Jerry and Haynes, ask you once more, do you have anyone?
Hello, Tom, we don't.
Thank you. Going to Kodiak, do you have another participant?
Tom, we don't have another participant, but Mr. Gesko would like to make a few more comments, if it's at all possible.
Let us go on around to the others, and then we'll see if we have time. I'll go on to Ketchikan.
We have one more question.
Please.
We'll
Lynn Streeper in Ketchikan, representing myself. I'm in support of Bill SB 154. This would be a benefit to the City of Ketchikan employees, making it easier to negotiate and reach equitable understandings to issues under conflict. This problem is not just in Fairbanks or Anchorage, but one everywhere and should be addressed accordingly. I believe that this will give a better guideline to reach agreement during labor disputes and negotiations. Because of being involved with our negotiation last year with the City of Ketchikan, I feel that had we been under the pair agreement, we would not have had the problems we did, nor would we have had to strike to get any result. This act would give us the opportunity to have an impartial and disinterested arbitrator to help settle fairly labor disputes when they reach an impasse. This is what we needed very much at that time. I urge you to vote for the repeal of this act. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynette.
Ms. Ketchikan, can I have someone else on the other side of the issue?
Ketchikan has no more questions.
No.
I'll go on to Soldatna. Check with you once more, please.
My name is Bill Brighton. I'm the city manager of the city of Kenai, and I am here speaking on behalf of the elected officials in the city of Kenai. It appears to me, as I have listened to this testimony, that there are two types of groups testifying. One, elected officials and or representatives of elected officials, and two, individuals who are representing themselves or unions who are representing anticipating an increase in membership. I'm convinced that the elected officials who have testified are convinced they are testifying the wishes of the people whom elected them, and that obviously is a majority of the people in the area in which they were elected. I'm also convinced that the unions and the individuals are representing their own interests, and that is not necessarily the same interest in the public good. Unions' single and most important endeavor is to represent their membership's interest, and that is not always in the best interest of the community in which they are located. As I understand it, there isn't anything in the law that prohibits municipal employees from joining a union. And as I also understand it, there is nothing in the law that prohibits them from negotiating with a municipality. The unions are just going to have to do a little more work and create the atmosphere within the community that they want to represent to get public opinion on their side. Once public opinion is on their side, they will be able to elect the officials who will be willing to negotiate with unions. It's my understanding that most communities have personnel codes, and it's also my understanding that most of those personnel codes were adopted in open council meeting, at which time there was public hearing, that the public or employees or anyone else could testify and be heard. In the adoption of these codes, I'm convinced that most of those codes carry out the intent of what is designed by Senate Bill 154. With the adoption of this amendment, you open the door to mass unionization with little effort on their part. I recommend on behalf of the City Council that the amendment to Senate Bill 154 be defeated, and that if unions want to organize and negotiate with communities, they get off their duffs and do the work necessary in order to create that atmosphere in the communities they want to organize. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bill.
Does Petersburg have another participant for us?
Yes, we do.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, I'm Everett Volk, and I'm representing myself. Also, I want to be heard. As an employee of the school district who is supported by the city, I'm in support of Senate Bill 154. I, along with many other employees, feel that our civil rights were infringed upon when the city opted out the Public Employees Relations Act. And further, when the City Council recently repealed its decision to have the voter settle the question. Since that time, the employee morale has gone very low. Senate Bill 154 is now the most sensible way to improve it, thus allowing all city employees to have the right to the collective bargaining. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hope.
No one on the other side.
Fine, thank you. We'll move on then to ask Valdez. Do you have anybody? You chat?
No, I do not.
Thank you. We'll move on to Fairbanks. The time is running quite short, so we'll take as short comments as the person feels to communicate with.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Chris Catalon. I'm a carpenter at the Public Works Garage for the City of Fairbanks. Thank you for this opportunity to testify before your committee today. The repeal of the Kozlowski Amendment means a lot not only to myself but to my co-workers at the City of Fairbanks. Our group, known as the AFL-CIO Joint Crafts Council, has been without a labor contract since 1979. This is not to say that we have not tried to negotiate with the City of Fairbanks. It is to say that the City of Fairbanks has refused to bargain with us and several other groups. In order to illustrate what this means in our jobs at the city, I would like to review a few items that were in our last contract and the status of them now that we, with no choice in the matter, are working under the city's personnel code. One, shop stewards. Shop steward would process grievances and be present at disciplinary hearings to assist the employee in knowing just what his or her rights were. Status, deleted. Two, prepaid legal programs. Status, deleted. Three, double time for the seventh consecutive day worked. Status, deleted. Four, lead man, three or four men, foreman, five or more men, supervised. Status, lead man, deleted. Foreman, as deemed needed by the superintendent. Five, on call, 2 hours at overtime rate for being on call with a radio. Status, deleted. Six, call back after regular shift. Winter, 4 hours minimum, summer, 2 hours minimum. Status, deleted. Seven, call out on scheduled day off, 4 hours minimum. Status, deleted. Eight, 4 days notice for shift change. Status, deleted. Nine, paid sick leave and termination. Status, deleted. 10, shift differential pay. Status, deleted. These 10 items are the only ones that come to mind. However, all 10 are in labor agreements that the City of Fairbanks has chosen to honor. To say there is an inconsistency here is stating the case mildly indeed. The Supreme Court of the State of Alaska has ruled that the city has conducted itself within the parameters of the Kozlowski Amendment. Our only hope of achieving an equal status with the rest of the workforce in Alaska is through your fair-minded good judgment in helping defeat this travesty of human rights. I have two other items. handed to me by another employee. They feel that we need stability. Elected officials and philosophies change frequently, but most employees remain on the job. The Kozlowski Amendment was a last-minute amendment to the Bureau and was narrowly approved. Things are not as rosy as elected officials would paint. If so, why were so many court suits filed because of problems caused by the Kozlowski Amendment? Without Bureau protection, above employees have no protection and are constantly harassed by elected officials. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Catalone.
As we go around this fourth time, and we are near our time limit, in fact, we're right to it, we take some one-minute comments. Is there anyone in Sitka?
Yes, I would like to speak in favor of Senate Bill 154. My name is Susan White. I do not work for the city, and I do not represent any union interests. I speak representing myself and other people and my acquaintance in favor of this bill. Unfortunately, I've seen city employees treated with disrespect and rudeness. I've seen them harassed as recently as today when they made comments in favor of this bill at the teleconference. I have concern that, in fact, there is no way to resolve issues as they come up except by lawsuit, and I'm seeing factions made that cannot be resolved. If we do not pass Senate Bill 154, I'm afraid that public negotiations, employee morale, will be set back many, many years, at least in the town of Sitka, and perhaps in many other ones.
Thank you, Susan.
We'll go on now for these final quick comments to conclude the teleconference. I'll go to Cody, to Soldatna, next.
We have no further testimony, thank you.
All right, and then back to Fairbanks.
We have no further participants.
All right, and then to Petersburg.
Yes, we have another one.
Yeah, I'm Ralph Cesari, and I'm a member of Local 71 and shop steward for the state employees, and I'm in favor of the passage of 154 because of the fact that, as has been stated many times from the people of Petersburg, they do need some kind of a bargaining group to talk to their council and their leaders. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph.
This is good. We'll go on around now to Sitka.
This is the moderator in Sitka, and we don't have any more testimony.
All right. Mr. Gesko and Kodiak, would you like to make a brief final comment?
Sitka and Petersburg, I'll let you one more Petersburg. We're going to do a final meeting.
Is Mr. Gesko still present in Kodiak?
Tom, this is the moderator in Kodiak, and if you are trying to transmit something, we're not receiving you.
All right, are you hearing me now? Yes, I was calling to see if Mr. Gesko wanted to make a final comment.
Yes, we're hearing you now, and here is Mr. Gesko.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not a rebuttal. It's simply merely additional information I have not yet heard during the testimony this afternoon. Kodiak, for instance, has not had a large turnover as a result of not having had organized employee groups. As a matter of fact, there are many long-term employees here, many of whom have become supervisors and department heads in the city. My experience spans the last 26 years in 5 different states and in 7 different cities, every one of which did have organized employee groups with which I had to bargain. I have never had the misfortune of having a strike, but I've never been a manager either who enjoyed labor negotiations, really. One point that I wanted to make that had not been made yet, was that not many cities anymore have residency requirements for their employees. That is, the city employees must live within the city limits. This used to be very commonplace in cities. So employees then, after they have an organized bargaining group, many of them live outside the city. Oftentimes, most of them live outside the city. And inevitably then, through their compulsory arbitration or through their strike, are dictating to the residents and the taxpayers inside the city the level of their wages and their benefits. And inevitably then, the level of the tax structure for that city. When you talk about second-class citizens, then you've actually relegated the residents of the city to second-class citizenship because
because they have no representation then in what the level of their tax structure will be. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gesko. This is Moderator Juneau, and it looks to me like we have nobody else to participate. Is there anyone that has not yet testified that would like to make a 30-second comment?
Petersburg has another person.
All right, we'll go ahead briefly.
Petersburg has another person to testify.
Fine, go ahead. Go ahead, Petersburg. Keep the comments brief, please.
Yes, my name is Bill Mary. I'm a member of IDW 1547 and the local shop steward. I have been an employee of the city of Petersburg in both areas, both as management and as an employee. I just wanted to point out that in some circumstances where IDW was granted a right to organize the city of Petersburg in the electorate of employees, these particular employees have negotiated with a common fairness, I think, understanding the economic situation of this community, and presently have the lowest wage scale in the state of Alaska. I don't think organization really means that everybody's out for money. Organization gives up people an opportunity to have a part in the decision-making process and allows them some security to know that they'll have a job today, tomorrow, and possibly 10 years from now in such a way that they feel they'll be able to support their family and to support the community. Most of the people that work for the city in this particular area are inside the city and do support the city. And it's important for them, when economic times are tough, to be able to assist in the management decisions to decide whether we take a cut in pay or whether we lay people off. And those kind of things are denied right now because of unilateral action of the council.
That concludes our people to testify.
Thank you very much, Bill. Well, that concludes the hearing. We certainly appreciate those of you who took time to come to the various sites to offer your testimony. Are there any questions from the committee? Meeting adjourned. This ends the teleconference of Labor and Commerce. Robin in Seattle, thank you for your great work, and I will be dialing us off the bridge now. Juneau will be creating tones. Thank you, Bob. And all those with data, I will receive the final participant list at JUNTC. Thank you for your participation. It went quite well from this end. Juneau clear.
Thank you.
Rushing to the next one.
You really got very smooth.
Hi, Linda. What's happening next?
Hi, Tom. Gail is setting up accounts resources for the 6:30 telecom.
Great, good, good. I'll be right down there. Thanks a lot.
And hello, Linda and Tom or anyone. I have 3 microphones I'd like to test down.
Gail, I have to come down to your room, so you test for somebody else, and I'll see you in a moment.
Thank you, Tom.
Juneau turning off the set.
How about a site other?
Thank you. I appreciate that. I remember when I first started, I was pretty nervous.
But that didn't last long.